Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry that focuses on God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Wednesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. Today I'm into the middle of my third week teaching through a brand new book that I have entitled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword. I've said this a lot, but I am really excited about this book because it's a summary of 16 different books that I've written. Each chapter, there's 16 chapters, one chapter is devoted to a subject that I have an entire book on. And I think that the benefit of this is that it allows people to have kind of an overview of some of the most important things that God has shown me through His Word. And it just has a profound effect on people. Sometimes people can become so bogged down in the details of things that they don't see how all of these different pieces fit together. But as you go through this book, you could actually sit down and in one reading, you could go through 16 of the most important things that God has ever shown me in my life. And it gives you kind of an overview of the Christian life that has a profound effect. And then as you go through this, you can go back and study each thing individually by getting our books on it. Also, we have this study guide, and I'm really excited about this because, again, we're trying to make disciples, not just converts. And I've really emphasized that. And every book that I come out with now has a study guide. On the inside of this is a CD-ROM, and you can actually print out all of the questions and all of these materials in here so that you can conduct a Bible study. And you could go through, it's a really simple thing. You just read some of the statements, some of the main points, then you ask questions, and then there's scripture references, and you look up the references, and the reference answers the question. I call it discipleship for dummies. You can't miss. Amen. It's just really simple. And the CD-ROM allows you to reproduce this book as many times as you want to so that every person in a Bible study or Sunday school class can have these materials you can go through. And it's just really a simple way of doing it. We get awesome reports back about the way that this is facilitating people having Bible studies and discipling other people, and it's really, really good. Now, yesterday I was talking about a better way to pray. This is actually the 10th chapter in this 16th chapter book. And I gave a brief introduction, used Matthew chapter 6, verses 5 through 8, where Jesus, before he talked about the right way to pray, he countered the wrong teaching and said, hypocrites love to pray. And I guarantee you this, yesterday I just felt like it was a shock to millions and millions of people watching this program. There's not very many people that would approach prayer this way, but this is the way that Jesus did. He first of all said, you got to get rid of this religious thinking and all of this junk that people do in the name of the Lord and call it prayer. I heard Charles Capps one time talk about that he was praying, and right in the middle of his prayer, the Lord says, Charles, what are you doing? And he says, well, I'm praying. And God told him, he says, you aren't praying, you're complaining. That's powerful. And you know what? There's a lot of what we do that's just griping and complaining. You can actually release Satan through what people call prayer. And I was talking about this yesterday. Again, I'm just trying to go and hit these things very quickly. I'm not spending a lot of detail on this. And so if you want more detail, you need to get this book or you could get my individual book on a better way to pray. But let me go over today and begin to start talking about what prayer is. Yesterday I was talking about what it was not, countering the wrong concepts. So what is prayer? What is it really all about? And here is going to be a simple statement, but it is a radical statement that just shakes most people to their core. You know, the number one purpose of prayer is to fellowship with God so that you can know God. Now, that is a simple statement, but I can guarantee you, if most of you were honest and if you sat down and evaluated the time that you pray, and if somebody else, say, for instance, a third party who, is not prejudiced, that could be objective was to sit down and listen to you pray and categorize what it is that you're praying about, I can guarantee you a large portion of your prayer would be repenting and telling God, you're so sorry, you blew it again. Oh, God, I'm so unworthy. How could you love someone like me? Another very large segment, probably the majority of the time that most people spend in prayer, would be praying, asking for things and begging and pleading and asking God to move. And if you are a really spiritual, what most people would consider a spiritual, mature Christian, then most of your time would be begging for other people to receive things from God or repenting over their sins or the sins of the nation. But I can guarantee you that if you were to have somebody objectively evaluate your prayer life, most people spend the vast majority of their time either repenting, telling God how sorry they are, how unworthy they are, or asking God to do something. And even though there are scriptures that talk about that, yes, you can ask and receive so that your joy may be full. And there is a time to repent. The main purpose of prayer, the vast majority of your prayer, should not be spent asking for anything or begging God for forgiveness, but it should be spent thanking God for what He's already provided through Jesus. It should be about communication, and not just a one-way communication. Again, this is something that not very many people enter into, but what they call prayer, it's just like, man, they turn on a machine gun and just they spit all of this stuff out. They say all of the things that they want to, and God couldn't get a word in edgewise if He wanted to. Don't shout me down because I'm preaching good. I guarantee you, if I was talking to you face to face, many of you, I could tell right now, I'd hit a nerve, because that is the way that most people pray. Again, I've prayed that way, but I found a better way to pray. You know, there's a friend of mine who pastored a church. And this guy, he would often get up and I would hear him say things about how that the Lord would speak to him when he was out jogging or when he was in the shower or doing something. And he says, it's strange the way that God speaks to me, because I spend an hour or 2 hours a day praying and I never have God speak to me while I'm praying. It's while I'm out jogging that God gives me all these revelations. And I knew why it was, because I'd prayed with this guy. And this guy had a Pentecostal background, and when he prayed, it was just, I mean, he would start, whoa, God, and he would start screaming and shouting. He would walk. He would pray in tongues. He would just be so adamant. I mean, he was speaking so fast that God couldn't get a word in edgewise. So when God wanted to talk to him, he had to wait until he was going to sleep or out jogging or doing something where he wasn't talking. There are some people that the way that they pray, it's a monologue instead of a communication. At the very least, you ought to have it so that, you know, like a two-way radio, that every once in a while you say over and allow the other person to say something. Prayer should be communication, communion, two-way. God should be able to speak to you. You know, I was out walking on my trail yesterday, which I normally, well, I always, I guess, pray while I'm walking, and I went walking for about 2.5-3 hours yesterday, and I was praying in tongues and asking God to speak, and I was thanking the Lord for the day and doing things, but God spoke to me. I was writing some letters, and I was saying, God, how do I approach this? How do I share these truths? And as I was praying, God spoke some things to me and told me things to do. It's a communication. It's a two-way street. I don't just talk to God, but I talk and I let God talk to me. It's communication. And this is a simple truth, but you know what? This is what prayer is really for, is just to visit, to fellowship with God, not to be getting things. And I think that because we've got it reversed, we use prayer like a grocery cart to go up and down the aisles of heaven saying, gimme, gimme, gimme. My name is Jimmy. My middle name is Moore. Gimme more. And we just, that's what prayer is to a lot of people. There is no relationship. There's no fellowship. And because of it, did you know what? We actually don't get our needs supplied as well, because everything that God can do for us actually comes out of relationship with God. The focus of prayer should be relationship with Him. thanking Him and letting His love flow through you and feeling His pleasure. And you know, if you did that, you wouldn't have near as many things to ask for. For one thing, you wouldn't be covetous. You know, you wouldn't want just a new, bigger house, bigger car, bigger everything. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't want us to have nice things, but I'm saying, you know, eventually there has to be a limit. How many beds can you sleep in at one time? How big does your bathroom have to be for you to be satisfied and take care of business? And yet most people, it's just like they are constantly lusting, and so they're asking for all of these things. They're finding their satisfaction and their contentment in external things instead of a relationship with God. If you used prayer primarily for a relationship with God, you would find out it wouldn't take very much to satisfy your needs. And you could be content much easier. You wouldn't be all of the time asking and lusting for things. It would change things. And did you know when things no longer have control of you, but instead you have control of them, you will actually get more things. God will bless you and give you more if He can trust you with it. But with most people, if He gave you more, if He gave you an increased finances, it would take your heart away from God. And so actually, our focus on asking for things and always praying for things instead of relationship is actually a hindrance to us receiving things from God. Plus, there's many scriptures, like it says in the book of Proverbs, that a merry heart does good like a medicine. Did you know if we were in the presence of God and fellowshipping with Him and relating to God properly, the joy of the Lord would be our strength, Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 10. We would have strength, health in us. A merry heart would do good. We wouldn't have to spend as much time asking for all of these physical things. There are people that are so stressed out with things because they don't take all of their cares to the Lord. As Scripture says in 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7, it says, casting all of your care upon Him because He cares for you. And see, most people don't spend time relating to God and feeling His pleasure and having the Lord speak to them. And because of that, they're stressed out. Their immune system isn't working as well. So they're sick. And so that occupies more of their time asking God for this and pleading for this. I'm telling you, if we would just make the main thing the main thing, if we would seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and if we would use prayer primarily to fellowship with God and just to bless Him, to love God, then you would find out that your needs would be taken care of better accidentally than you have ever taken care of them on purpose before. You would find out that you wouldn't be sick because a merry heart would do good like a medicine. The joy of the Lord would be your strength. You wouldn't be stressed out. You would have health, and everything would be different. You know, I don't have a scripture that says specifically what percentage of our prayer should be just loving God and relating to God. So I can't tie this to a scripture, but based on my personal experience and the things that I've studied, like Psalms 100, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. It instructs us how to approach God. And it didn't say to come asking and begging and repenting and doing all of this. It says to praise Him. Then Jesus said the same thing in Matthew chapter 6 when He said, gave us the model prayer, and He said, start by saying, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. You know, He starts off in the whole thing. I could spend an hour on each one of those phrases, but you're praising Him for this relationship, calling Him Father, which no one in the Old Testament was able to do that. That was considered heresy. When Jesus said that God was His Father, the scribes and the Pharisees wanted to crucify Him, kill Him, stone Him to death, because that was blasphemy. And yet today we talk about it and take it for granted. But that's talking about an intimate relationship. You start off by praising Him for what He's done. Thank Him for His kingdom here on this earth, for the things that He's doing. You enter into His gates with praise. And then you do slip in, give us this day our daily bread, forgive us our debts. But then you end it with, for Thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. So when you put all of these things together, you see that Jesus told us to approach God praising Him, and then you slip your needs in, and then you praise Him again and thank Him for things. I really believe, this is just andiology, I don't have a verse to tie it to, but I believe that 90% or more of your prayer life ought to be nothing but worshiping God, thanking Him, praising Him. You know, here's another way to look at this. Think of Adam and Eve before they fell. They met with God in the cool of the evening and visited with Him. Now, what was their visit, their communion, or you could say, what was their prayer life with God about? They didn't have anything to ask for. Everything was perfect. They lived in the perfect world. They had all of the food. The weather was perfect. There was nothing to ask for. They didn't have any person to intercede for because each one of them was still sinless and perfect. They were treating each other perfectly. There were no demons to cast out. There were no problems of the world that they had to solve. There was no intercession to make. There was no sickness to pray over. There was no poverty to ask God to end. Did you know, if you were to just eliminate all of the things that concern our needs and our problems and the things that most of us pray over, if you were to subtract that from our prayer life, many of us would have nothing left. What did Adam and Eve do? How did they commune with God? When there was no problems and there was no intercession and there was nothing to repent of, pray for, believe God for, what did their fellowship with God consist of? You know, the Scripture doesn't amplify on this, but I think it's obvious that they were just visiting with Him. They were probably saying, man, we found this fruit today. We were eating this fruit. It was absolutely awesome. It's wonderful what you created. They were probably talking about the sunrise, how beautiful the trees were. They probably were talking about, man, we saw an animal today, the duck-bill platypus, and it looks like you just had all of these parts left over and you put them all into one animal. And they would visit with them and just praise Him for how good He was, for how awesome His creation was, thanking Him for things. It was just visiting. It was just fellowship. It was communion. It wasn't repenting. It wasn't pleading. It wasn't all of these things that people have made prayer. And you know what? I believe that that still should be the heart of our relationship, even much more now. Adam and Eve didn't truly understand how good everything was until they lost it. And now mankind has been experiencing grief and sorrow and pain and all of these kind of things. And now we ought to be more thankful than what Adam and Eve were. You know what? I really believe that a healthy prayer life is not always. And again, there is a place for interceding for others and praying over big, important things and asking God for wisdom and direction. And I'm saying that there is a place for that. But I'm saying that the vast majority of our prayer life ought to be just thanking God. Thank you, Father, for sending Jesus. Thank you that you sent your own Son who suffered and died and bore my shame and bore my sorrow. Thank you for how good you are. Thank you, Jesus, for loving us and doing this. Thank you for this beautiful day. You know, I drove in today and there was an awesome sunrise and I just couldn't help but just thank God and praise God. I don't think, there may be some days, just because I'm not perfect and I don't do things perfectly, but just nearly every day of my life, I thank God for the day. I thank God for living in Colorado and for the mountains and all the beautiful things. Even if it's snowing or whatever, man, I praise God. I thank God. I believe that that is an important part of prayer, is just to enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto God and bless His name, for the Lord is good and His mercy endures forever. That's the way that we were told to approach God. It says that we are with thanksgiving. This is out of Philippians chapter 4. It says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. There is a time to pray and ask God for things. He says, you have not because you ask not, in James chapter 4. So, yes, there is a time to ask, but it specifically says, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known unto God. You know, if we were to follow just that one piece of advice, and any time you ask God for something, make sure you sandwich it in between Thanksgiving. Like in the Lord's Prayer, Matthew chapter 6, you start off by "Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." And then you say, "Give us this day our daily bread." But then you end it with, "For thine is the kingdom." It's what I call a sandwich technique. You just make sure that if you do ask for anything, you make sure you start by praising Him first. And then when you ask, you make sure you end by thanking Him that His Word has promised and that it will come to pass. And if you just took that approach, and if you spent twice as much time praising God and thanking Him for all of the things that He's done, twice as much time doing that as you did petitioning and asking Him for something, it would totally change your emotions. It would totally change your outlook. You would be in faith instead of fear and unbelief. You know, if you were to approach God, say, for instance, the doctor tells you you're sick, and instead of going in and saying, "Oh, God, the doctor says I'm going to die," and you spend 10, 15 minutes talking about how bad it is, and then say, "Heal me if it be your will, for Jesus' sake, amen." Instead of taking that approach, if you were to enter in and just thank Him, "Father, thank You for my salvation. Thank You for everything that You've done, and thank You that part of that salvation is healing. That by Your stripes I was healed. If I was healed, I am healed." And you spend time thanking Him. And then you slip in, and, "Oh yeah, the doctor says that I've got this. But Father, I know that You have already promised that You heal all of my diseases. And so I just thank You. I will not die, but I shall live and declare the works of the Lord." See, if you took that approach, you would just shrink your problems down to nothing. But most of us, we don't enter in with thanksgiving. We don't end with thanksgiving. We just spend our entire time telling God how bad our situation is. And by doing so, we actually amplify the problem in our own heart. We're making unbelief come. You know, faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. Unbelief also comes by hearing anything other than the Word of God. And if you are focused on what the doctor said, on what the banker said, on what the lawyer said, on what your husband or wife said, or your children said, or whatever who's countering you and giving you problems, if you focus on those things, then your problems just grow and get bigger. But if we would pray and use prayer primarily to thank God and to enter into His gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, if we use prayer for a relationship and we just were enjoying the blessing of the Lord and we were happy in the Lord, thanking Him for all of the things that He has done, not griping about the things that we haven't seen, but thanking Him that things are as good as they are. If we used our prayer time like that, did you know when you actually got to inserting in your request, it would be such a minor thing. It would be so easy to believe for. You would see things provided better. Everything would work better. The true purpose of prayer is for a relationship with God. Boy, that is powerful. And I know that there's many of you today that God has spoken to through this, and you just have done a little inventory and realize that you've gotten to where you spend so much time pleading and talking about how bad things are instead of how good God is. I challenge you today to find a better way to pray. And I encourage you to listen as our announcer gives you some information about how you can call and get this brand new book and study guide that we've put out on Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword.
The faithful support of partners makes this program possible. We invite you to join Andrew as he spreads the message of God's unconditional love and grace. Write, call, or visit our website and become a partner today.
Andrew's newest book, titled Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword, is available for a gift of any amount. This book is unlike any other Andrew has ever written. Rather than one topic, it contains 16 of Andrew's most powerful teachings. Each is condensed into a single chapter, making this the most comprehensive collection of life-changing messages we've ever offered. Contact us today to get your copy. Or, if you prefer, you can order Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword on DVD as seen on TV. This series has over 7 hours of life-changing teaching. The entire DVD series is available for a gift of any amount. There's also a new Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword workbook available for a gift of $35 or more. The workbook works well in conjunction with the DVD series, offering the opportunity for deeper study of the biblical principles Andrew presents in his teaching. Or you can get all three of these products by ordering the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package. This package includes the brand new book, the As Seen on TV DVD series, and the workbook. The entire package has a catalog value of $79. But today, you can get the Sharper Than a Two-Edged Sword package for a gift of just $69 or more. A single DVD containing the third week's broadcast of this series is available for a gift of any amount when you write or call. We encourage everyone to give, but if you're simply unable to afford it, Andrew and his partners will provide this third DVD free of charge. You can use your credit card to order resources by telephone. Our helpline number is 719-635-1111. Helpline hours are Monday through Friday from 4:30 a.m. until 9:30 p.m. Mountain Time. If the lines are busy, you can visit our website where you can order ministry materials 24 hours a day, 7 days a week at awmi.net. To write us, use the address on your screen. We appreciate your generosity and hope to hear from you today. We'd like to point out Andrew's upcoming speaking schedule. Mark your calendars to come meet Andrew at one of these events and let the Word of God transform your life. He'll be in the Washington, D.C. area for a Gospel Truth seminar this week, April 14th through the 16th. In Broken Arrow, Oklahoma, for Pastor Bob Yandian's Ministers Conference, April 27th through the 29th. And in Atlanta, Georgia, for a Gospel Truth seminar, May 5th through the 7th. He'll also be at the Solid Rock Church of Atlanta, Sunday, May 8th, in the UK for the Grace and Faith Family Camp, May 27th through the 30th, and in Colorado Springs, Colorado, for the annual Summer Family Bible Conference, July 4th through the 8th. For more details on Andrew's next meeting in your area, call our helpline or visit our website at awmi.net.
I'd like to give you a special invitation to join me on July the 4th through the 8th for our Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs. And it goes through Monday night through Friday night, July the 4th through the 8th. We have children's ministry. We will have 3 hours worth of classes in our Caris Bible College in the mornings on Tuesday through Friday. And it's just going to be a great time for the entire family. It's a great time to be in Colorado in the summer. You'd love it. So it's going to be Monday through Friday, July the 4th through the 8th, the Summer Family Bible Conference right here in Colorado Springs.